Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, who's ready to break out in 2019? We've got some candidates for you, like Kerryon Johnson, Sammy Watkins. We'll talk about it with Heath Cummings and Dave Richard. This will be Heath's list of breakouts. This is Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday the 18th. You are hearing this on Wednesday or Thursday, but we are recording on Tuesday. And what's up, Heath and Dave? Heath, you are under the microscope again. How did the sleeper show go? Like, you feel like we weren't too harsh on you in the sleepers episode, right?
If you were, I didn't notice or care. So I think it was fine.
Dang, you didn't care about our feelings?
No, I didn't care about how you made me feel.
Good. No, you're very
secure.
You
didn't care about the way we felt about making you feel.
I don't know how you felt, but no, I don't care.
I care, Dave. So, we'll talk about some of those guys. And minicamp developments, sort of, as I promised from our last episode. Like, the Detroit Free Press predicted 60 or more catches for Kerryon Johnson. Houston maybe going running back by committee. James Conner talking about distributing backfield touches, and then a follow-up report on that. Here are some stats to know for today's show.
Yo.
So why don't we do the stat-o-meter? 0 to 10. And you tell me how good the stat is, or how interesting it is. Okay? Over the last three seasons, Lamar Miller ranks 4th in rush attempts, 5th in rushing yards, and 22nd in rushing touchdowns among running backs.
Lamar Jackson's really good.
Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller's really good.
What a Freudian slip by Heath Cummings.
Like, seriously, we're talking about a guy who's probably available as the 30th running back off the board. And, like, the bad thing we say about him is he doesn't score touchdowns and he's 22nd in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's 22nd.
Top 5 in yards over the last 3 years.
What happened to the stat-o-meter?
He's really good. I mean, I did not realize how good Lamar Miller was, so I'm going to say it's a 10.
It's a 4. it's not that exciting of a stat.
Lamar Miller isn't
that exciting of a player. And there is already discussion about how the Texans will begin the season in a tandem timeshare duo backfield.
Yep, that's why I brought up the stat. Stat number 2. A Green Bay running back has averaged 5 yards per carry or better 3 straight seasons, minimum 70 carries.
That's like a 6 on the statometer.
Okay.
Here's what I'd like to know. What is the single player high for rush attempts among Packers running backs over the last 3 seasons? You guess and I'll get the answer.
185.
Were you gargling? What was that?
I'm sorry, it was gross. 185 is my guess.
Heath, what's your guess?
I'll go 186.
Everybody else, make a guess. I'll get back to you in about 90 seconds.
Heath is supposed to go 184 because closest without going over is... Oh, wait, no. So, wait.
Yeah, either I'm going to win or it's 185.
Okay, good job, Heath. All right, stat number 3 on the stat-o-meter. Evan Ingram did not have 75 receiving yards in any of his first 7 games with Odell Beckham. And then he had 75 to 87 yards in all 4 games without Odell Beckham. That is really good. Evan Ingram did not have a 75-yard game in 7 games with Beckham. In 4 games without him, he had 75 or more every game.
I think he's probably going to have 75 yards or more every game this year, and he's really good.
No, he will not have 75 or more every game. But that is quite a number.
I have a number for you. Let's go over everybody's guesses on the carries leader for the Packers single season last 3 years.
Yeah, Heath said 186. I said 187.
You said 185.
You're both off by over 30 carries. 153 carries by Jamal Williams in 2017 is the leader. He's had the most work, and it's not a lot of work. That needs to turn around if the Packers are to have a great fantasy running back in 2019.
And they will, and it'll be Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones.
Oh, will they?
I think so. And Aaron Jones mid-season, so when he was the featured back, he averaged 14 carries per game. He was on pace for 272 touches, 222 carries, and 50 catches, and was a total stud. Take that, stat-o-meter. All right, well, those are some stats to consider. Those are some topics and players that we're going to discuss. Email of the day is at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It comes from Ryan from a tiny town in eastern Kentucky.
A tiny town in eastern Kentucky? Let's go with Richmond.
Okay. Dear Tony, Steve, Bruce, and Clint. It's always comic books. I don't know who Clint is.
Eastwood.
Clint Barton. Who's Clint Barton? What character is that? Is that Captain America or something?
No, no, Steve definitely is not. Captain America.
Hawkeye. Hawkeye is Clint Barton. Played here by Jeremy Renner?
In the Avengers, yes.
Yeah, okay. I was wanting to hear you guys debate who you'd take with the number 5 pick in both formats. I've been doing some mock drafts. I never know who to take with the 5th pick. I've been leaning towards Hopkins, but I'd like to hear what you think.
In non-PPR, I'm going with Melvin Gordon, assuming that the first 4 picks are running backs. And in PPR, I'm going with Melvin Gordon, assuming the first 4 picks are running backs.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a debate anymore because I did move Gordon behind – or Connor behind Gordon – not too far. Like, he's still in my top 10, but I would probably still just take Gordon in both formats. I think there's a good argument to make for Hopkins. Hopkins is safer. If you listen to the fluorometer, you know that.
True.
But I'd probably take Gordon.
Okay. Yeah. Gordon has missed, 9 games over 4 seasons, which ain't nothing. He's played 14, 13, 16, and 12 games. So Gordon is our answer here, and who's 6th then? Who's your 6th pick?
That's Hopkins.
It's Hopkins in PPR. For me, it's Connor in non-PPR.
I would take Hopkins in 5th in PPR.
Okay. Thank you for the email. We got more emails coming up later at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I have a couple of things to promote. Very exciting stuff. First of all, we have a Facebook group, a Fantasy Football Today Facebook group. You might not know that we have a Facebook group because it's not very active. But one of my goals this year is to really make this thing pop. So I want you all to join. I think we have like 500 to 600 members right now. By the end of the week, I want over 1,000. So let's see if we can make that happen. So join the Fantasy Football. That's very ambitious. But join the Fantasy Football Today Facebook group.
How do you join it?
You just go. You try to join it. And then I will approve it. You just like. Click.
So I just go to like the search bar on Facebook and I type in Fantasy Football Today.
Yep.
And it comes right up and I click that and then I like it and then I'm in.
Is that right? Or you don't have to like apply for member? I think you're already in it, Dave. That's my guess. So
I'm not asking for me.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm asking for everybody listening. I'm trying to help you here, Adam.
I don't have to be friends with you on Facebook to be in it, right?
Heath, why don't you join the group right now so we know how to do this?
But will you answer my question?
No, you don't. You don't. In fact, last night I went on my phone to the Facebook app and I saw Heath Cummings was the first recommended friend. And I was like, I am not doing it. Like, Heath has to initiate. I'm not doing it. Like,
I have hit ignore on your face so many times on my Facebook.
One of these days. If I did, though, actually request friendship, would you accept it?
Fantasy Football Today group, 603 members. I click join and it says request sent. So
Heath
I
Cummings
do have to wait
asked to
for
join
someone.
Fantasy Football Today, and I just approved him. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, Heath. All right, so let's get over 1,000 quickly. And then I think what I'm going to do, this could go any way we want. So what I really want Fantasy Football Today, the Facebook group, to be is kind of a community amongst our listeners. I don't want it to just be you interacting with me. I want you all to interact with each other. If you have a waiver wire question, a draft question, and you can't reach us or you're not satisfied with our answer, you just want a lot of opinions, post it in the group. Have conversations, whatever. Obviously, I can approve and delete comments. I can kick people out. So let's keep it fun. Let's keep it friendly. But my goal this year is to really make this podcast feel like, I don't know, a big family, you know? So we're going to use Facebook to do part of that. We're going to answer your questions. It's going to be mostly me. It's going to be mostly my responsibility, but please join the group. The other thing is football never stops. and neither does the Pick 6 NFL podcast. It's the perfect time for off-season rankings. On Wednesday and Thursday of this week, Brady Quinn joins Pete Prisco and Will Brinson to break down the top NFL, the top 100 NFL players. There's a surprise at the top, so download the two-part episode, or the two-part podcast, I should say, with Brady and Pete anywhere you find your podcast. That is the Pick 6 podcast. Wednesday and Thursday, they are unveiling the top 100. And right now, we're unveiling the breakouts. You ready, Heath?
I am so ready,
all right,
Adam.
Deshaun Watson was the number 5 quarterback in fantasy last year. He is your breakout quarterback. Can he get better, Heath?
I don't think he even has to get better. He just has to be allowed to do just a little bit more. He has been one of the, like, if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, and I wrote this in the article, we'd be talking about Deshaun Watson without his running at all as one of the best quarterbacks in the first 2 years of his career ever. He ranks 2nd in yards per attempt, 1st in completion percentage, 2nd in passer rating, 3rd in touchdown rate, all time amongst quarterbacks in their first 2 seasons as a starter.
That's good.
We saw with Russell Wilson,
10 on the statometer, by the way,
did not get to throw very often as a rookie. Didn't get to throw very much his second year. Slowly but surely, he built up to where he was throwing the ball 540 times in a season, and then they went and hired Shoddy and ruined it all. But I think he just needs a little bit of bump in volume, and then I do expect he'll be slightly more efficient on the ground than he was last year because he wasn't as efficient early in the season. I put with each of these breakout picks a realistic upside for them. And for him, I think it's 4,500 passing yards, 600 rushing yards, and 42 total touchdowns.
Let's hear that again.
4,500 pass yards, 600 rush yards, and 42 total touchdowns.
Please stay healthy. That's key number one. Make sure that offensive line does just enough to protect you, Deshaun. He had 4 games with 33 plus fantasy points, 6-point touchdown leagues last year. He was top 10 in consistency. By calling him a breakout, you're basically saying he's going to have a career year, Heath, right?
Yes.
This because everybody already knows that he's really good. This is you saying he's going to take yet another step, and he's still your number one quarterback?
Or is he number number one in 4 points. He's number 2 and 6.
Okay. I love the direction that the run game is going in, which is not a direction that we should like. And I think Deshaun Watson's going to be put in a position where he's going to have to make a lot of plays. He's got to stay healthy. Will Fuller's got to stay healthy. If those two things happen, and Hopkins too, if those two things happen, I think he's got a great shot at finishing as a top 2 quarterback this year.
I don't even think he needs Fuller to stay healthy. I think he needs one of Fuller or QT to stay healthy.
His game log is interesting, Deshaun Watson, because the first 5 games of the year, he threw the ball a lot. The last 4 games of the year, he threw the ball a lot. In the middle, those 7 games, he did not throw more than 25 passes.
Yep, he had the rib cage injury.
That's pretty interesting. So maybe there's more potential for him to, you know, throw the ball around a little bit more. And I when we did the countdown of the top 150, I gave the stat. It's with Will Fuller. Sorry. 0 on the statometer. But this is what you should know. With Will Fuller, he's been just amazing. Like, unbelievably amazing when Fuller's played. Okay.
Yep, that's been huge. If there is a slight downside, if I had to rain on this parade, it would be the schedule to open the season. At New Orleans, home against Jacksonville. At the Chargers, home against Carolina. Those are 4 very difficult games. But on the flip side, they should also be 4 high-scoring games. I don't think that there's a matchup there where you look at and you go, oh, it's going to be, you know, 21-3, whoever Houston's playing. Texans just aren't going to put points on the board, period. So he could, it's the health. It comes down to him staying healthy and the offensive line playing well.
All right, let's get to a couple of running backs here. Kerryon Johnson, as a rookie, played in 10 games. Averaged 5.4 yards per carry, was really good. Even showed the ability to catch the ball, and I just told you earlier, the Detroit Free Press predicting 60 or more catches for Kerryon Johnson. So he is a breakout for you, Heath.
In that same piece, they actually talked about Theo Riddick getting cut.
Yes.
Because they may just not need Theo Riddick. And we know that Kerryon's going to share a little bit of the workload. We also know the Lions have talked a lot about wanting to run the ball more. They hired the new offensive coordinator with that idea. Now, they talked before last season about running the ball more, too. And they did a little bit, just not very successfully, unless it was Kerryon Johnson. I think There's a couple of ways that he'll get better. One, a higher share of the workload. Two, he should not have as much trouble getting to the end zone. And even with those troubles and with not getting quite as much work, from week 3 through 11, he was a top 15 back in both formats last year.
So there were only like six games. No, he had three games with more than 15 carries. Three games with 15 or more carries, and he was a monster in all of them. So just give him the ball. Are we worried about injuries with Kerryon Johnson? He only played 10 games last year. He got beat up a lot in college. Didn't miss a lot of time. But I feel like, Dave, you were worried about that coming in to his NFL career.
I was. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want to draft him last year. And I think it kind of helps that he missed six games to end the season. They put him on ice, and now they're getting him ready for this year. I've been hesitant to jump into the deep end of the Kerryon Johnson pool because of the Lions' track record of using multiple backs. If Theo Riddick does not make this team, and there isn't a discernible running back who's going to play that passing downs role, then the prediction of 60-plus catches for Kerryon Johnson, it's going to come true like a Disney fairy tale. And he's going to be worth the round three. Is that where we're at with him right now?
Yeah.
I'm willing to go as high as round three on Kerryon Johnson. Late round three. But I believe that there's potential. The downside to it all is that the Lions' defense is terrible, and they're probably going to play from behind a little bit more often than the Lions might prefer. And it's going to hurt Kerryon Johnson's ability to have a lot of 17, 18 carry games. But that doesn't mean he can't have 17 or 18 touches, because right, if those catches are there for him, just get Theo Riddick off the roster. I think he makes a lot of money this year too. They could save some cap space by letting him go. The offensive line is going to be healthy. This is a great opportunity for Kerryon Johnson.
As far as the injuries go, you look at the running backs in the 11 to 20 range. I'm not more worried about him than I am Leonard Fournette or Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Or Damian Williams or Devontae Freeman or Philip Lindsay or Aaron Jones.
Some of those guys I'm more worried about than I am.
Most of them. Johnson. Most of them.
Well, I think the Aaron Jones, like if I were writing a breakouts column, I think Aaron Jones would be at the top. So who would you guys rather have, Jones or Johnson?
Kerryon.
I'll take Jones.
Why Kerryon over Aaron Jones?
We've not seen anything that shows that Aaron Jones is going to be a feature back or that he can handle a big workload either.
Fair. Okay.
And we haven't seen a Packers running back with more than 153 carries. Is that what I said? For Jamal Williams over the last 3 years. I wonder what the leading carry amount is for a Lions running back over the same span.
Well,
it might be what Kerryon had last year.
Last year, no. LeGarrette Blunt led the team in carries last year. How about
okay,
that?
So maybe it would. That's 154 really...
carries, 2.7 yards per carry. What were they doing? Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Rashad Penny on your breakout list. Obviously, there's an impediment there, but all right, I'm into it. Let's hear Rashad Penny.
This is kind of a rich man's version of the Tampa Bay situation. Because I expect Chris Carson's going to be the starting running back at the beginning of the year. He is more talented than Peyton Barber is. It will be harder to take that job from him. But I also believe if Rashad Penny does all the little things right that Chris Carson does, and he goes forward the way that Chris Carson does, that eventually he's going to take a majority of the carries in this backfield. And this is a fantastic spot for a running back. They've got a pretty good offensive line. They're going to run the ball 150 times a game, and they're going to run the ball in the red zone.
Yeah. How about this, though? This probably doesn't mean anything to you, just obviously if Penny can overtake Carson. But Chris Carson had 86.7% of the team's carries inside the 5-yard line. Chris Carson, that is.
Oh, he was the lead back. And if he could hold on to that job this year, I think, like, here's the thing. I think Penny's going to be better than he was last year, even if Carson never gives up the job.
Sure.
So Penny will improve and likely be a worthwhile flex most weeks, but he also has the upside of a top 15 back.
So you would start Carson and Penny in the proper situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bye week there. You've got one of your running backs on bye. That's one thing. But if all your running backs are healthy, what situation would you need to see for Carson and Penny to both be in your starting
The
lineup?
Second back in Seattle might get more touches than the first back in Tampa or Detroit some weeks.
Is it like starting Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman 2 years
yes,
ago?
I think so.
Okay. So Penny was really good last year, 4.9 yards per carry, and obviously limited, 85 carries, only 9 catches in 14 games. But he was one of those guys where you watched him and he was like, whoa, kind of a highlight potential.
Oh, he was. My impression was he was terrible at the beginning of the year, like really, really bad. Scared, almost looked scared of getting hit. And then about halfway through the year, he seemed to figure it out and just kind of took off.
Okay.
He got healthy.
The seems like one of the favorite breakouts across fantasy football is Chris Godwin. So Chris Godwin, you may not know this, but he led the Buccaneers in red zone targets last season, and he was fourth in the NFL in targets inside the 10-yard line. Now, I don't know the Fitzpatrick versus Winston breakdown in terms of those targets, but I did think that was interesting.
Okay.
No, you can look it up. But
I'm going to try.
I've just been nervous about Godwin because it seems like he's super popular and going in like, you know, like around for early 40s overall. When would you take Chris Godwin?
I think the fourth round's a good time to take him. I think he snuck into the third round of one of our drafts, and that's probably a little bit early, but there's a reason why he's so popular. It's like every single thing that anyone's ever used as a reason for a breakout, Chris Godwin has it. He's a very talented receiver who's been talented in his first two seasons. He gets that third-year breakout tag. He's on a team that just lost 234 targets from last season. He's got Bruce Arians as his offensive coordinator, and they have a terrible defense, so they're going to have to throw the ball a ton.
I can't really argue with it. I don't
like O.J. Howard could have an enormous breakout, get 120 targets, and there's still plenty of room for Godwin to break out.
Yeah, I assume they're going to throw less than they did last year. Just like it's almost just like math, right? I mean, they just threw so much last year, and they won't be as good. They're not going to lead the NFL in passing again.
Probably not.
Probably not, right?
I expect their top five.
Okay, it's a great opportunity.
I expect their top five in pass attempts.
How many targets inside the 10 do you have him
11.
For last year?
11.
Okay, if you include the 10-yard line itself. So 10 yards and closer, I've got 13.
Mm-hmm.
8 were from Fitzpatrick, 5 were from Jameis. That might make you wrinkle your nose a little bit, but Bruce Arians doubled down on the 100 catch narrative on Chris Godwin. He's going to see a ton of playing time. He's going to line up in the slot. I think that he's going to be part of the reason why O.J. Howard doesn't have a huge year, because I think they find better mismatches for him than they do for Howard, and that Winston looks for him even more than he looks for Howard.
Oh, I definitely think he's going to get more targets than O.J. Howard. But it just takes more targets for a receiver to break out than it does for a tight end.
He's scoring. I think he can really deliver on a top 50 pick.
So let's take a look at some of the consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros. He's at wide receiver 21. Would you take Tyler Lockett or Chris Godwin?
I'll go Godwin.
I've got Lockett two spots ahead.
Even in PPR?
Yeah.
Would you take Chris Godwin or Kenny Golladay?
Godwin.
I've got Golladay higher than Godwin.
I'm
but
surprised.
It's only by three slots.
Well, I'm surprised that Heath didn't say Golladay, because I thought you were a big Golladay fan.
I love Golladay. I don't love the situation as much, and the more they talk about how much they want to run the ball and the more Darrell Bell opens his mouth, the more concerned I get about their offense, or at least their passing game.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Kerryon Johnson, again, this is why I want Theo Riddick out of the picture, is because I think the Lions are going to have to throw a lot, and I think Tampa Bay is going to have to throw a ton because that defense is so bad. And both of these teams, well, the Lions obviously have a much better run game than the Bucs, so I can't say that, but the Bucs run the game. Who knows what it's going to be?
Well, the difference for me with Golladay and Godwin in terms of the – and they're very close to my rankings. But I could – Detroit has a defensive head coach. They don't have a good talented defense, but they would like to. I could see them playing slow and attempting to just keep the other team's offense off the field. Bruce Arians is not going to do that no matter how bad his defense is.
It's true.
He's just going to try to outscore people.
And if that run game can't get going, think about teams that use the slot receiver as an alternative to the run game. That Minnesota did that last year when they didn't have Dalvin Cook. Adam Thielen benefited the most. I think that could happen in Tampa Bay too.
All right, let's compare Chris Godwin to another wide receiver on your breakouts list, and that's Sammy Watkins. So the consensus rankings have Godwin at wide receiver 21 and Watkins at wide receiver 23. So not our consensus rankings, by the way. I should probably use our top two. Nah, I'll use the Fantasy Pros. This is like all the industry rankers. Would you rather have, Heath, Godwin or Watkins?
I'll take Godwin. If you told me Tyreek Hill was not playing all season, I would take Watkins. But we've changed our rankings to reflect a guess that Tyreek Hill is going to miss six games this season. And so I'll take Godwin. I do think, though, that Watkins, if you look at his per game numbers last year and the games that he actually played in, it was essentially the second best year of his career. And I would expect on a per game basis, when the first six games of the year, he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. And then a borderline number two whenever he's healthy after that.
Yeah, another stat that I gave during the countdown last week, he had five games with more than five targets, and that was only 6 to 9 targets. He never had double-digit targets. In those five games, he averaged 12.4 fantasy points per game in non-PPR and 18.2 per game in PPR, and both of those numbers are right around 10th among wide receivers. So we're just talking 6 to 9 targets per game for Watkins in five games, and he performed like a top 10 wide receiver. If he starts the season with six games where he's averaging, you know, averaging like 8 targets, getting some games with 12 targets, like, oh my gosh, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. And then you won't be able to sell high necessarily, but you'll be able to enjoy the ride. Dave, anything on Watkins or shall we move on?
I'm just nervous about the injuries coming back to haunt him and what happens when Tyreek Hill comes back.
By the way, I wanted to see when we did our draft, who would go first. When we did our draft last week, Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins, it was a non-PPR draft, and they went within two picks of each other. It was Hill, followed by Tyler Lockett, followed by Sammy Watkins. What would you guys do right now? Watkins or Hill?
Hill.
I'll go Watkins, but I've got them four spots apart in my overall rankings, so I think they should go in the same round.
All right, our last breakout that we're going to talk about, you want to see the rest of the list, you go to cbssports.com/fantasy/football. Evan Ingram, in 11 games last year, he had 577 yards and three touchdowns on 64 targets, and of course has been much better in his career without Odell Beckham. So the way we were talking about Ingram on our previous show on Monday made me a little nervous that people might get too excited about him. I don't really know what to expect. I think the Giants are going to, if they have it their way, they're going to be among the lowest pass attempt team in the NFL. Their defense might be so bad where they can't do that, but I know that they're going to try to run the ball. They did add Golden Tate. I don't know, Heath.
I think, though, like the risk with Ingram is not very great.
Well, even an early fifth-round pick, a like 50th or so overall, that's pretty...
If he gets you 800 yards and scores, I don't know how many touchdowns you want to give him, but however many you think is appropriate for someone that has 800 yards, you're going to feel okay with that. Even if you count the time that Beckham has played, over his career, he's averaged exactly 50 yards per game.
I'm not going to feel comfortable with 800 yards and 7 touchdowns if I'm taking him with the 50th pick.
Why not?
Fifth-round pick? That's just not good enough. Like, we talked about Evan Ingram versus Brandon Cooks, and if Ingram is giving me 807, Brandon Cooks is going to absolutely wallop him in fantasy points.
Sure, but they play different positions.
I understand, but we talked about, like, it's got to be close enough where
but
you're
I'm
ta- taking
but
the scarce...
I'm talking about what I think the basic floor is.
Okay. Right, okay. Go on.
And really, last year, like, Cooks would have outscored him by 20 each of the past 2 years at that, at 807.
Oh, 20 yeah. total fantasy points.
He had 1,007 2 years ago. He had 1,205 last year.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that far apart.
I mean, it's not
one
good.
To two fantasy points per game.
But I think that's
which I would trade off for just to have a good tight end. Here's what it comes down to: when you hear Evan Ingram's name, do you think, well, he should be lopped in with the group of O.J. Howard and Jared Cook, Eric Ebron, Hunter Henry, or do you think, yeah, he's really got a chance to be just behind Kelce, Kittle, and Ertz? And I know that sounds silly. Obviously, he's not going to be he won't finish with the same type of numbers as those three tight ends. I mean, maybe.
I think he has that kind of upside.
Maybe he does in this offense, because I do think he's going to have more targets than anybody other than Saquon, and maybe even more than Saquon. But if you think he's closer to that group of Studley three than the group of not bad from those four other tight ends, then you're going to want to take him late round four and round five. And if you think he's more like O.J. Howard and Jared Cook, maybe you think he's worse than those guys, there's no way. There's just no way you're going to have him on your fantasy team because he's going to end up going in round five.
Yeah, I'm not taking him in round four. I also think there's a downside that we haven't really talked about. I don't know how much you've considered it, but it's Daniel Jones plays half the season, and he's awful.
That might excite me at this point.
Fine. Then what does that say about Eli Manning? I mean,
Same thing we've been saying about Eli Manning for the last 3 years. He's not good.
He's not.
And Evan Engram still had good numbers with Eli Manning.
Yeah, but Eli Manning isn't nearly as bad as Heath makes him out to be. I think that Eli Manning is probably better than Daniel Jones right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite as close as – quite as far away as you might think.
I bet
the
it is.
The fact that the door's kind of been left open a little bit tells you what you need to know.
I understand that Eli's not good, but I also understand that a lot of rookie quarterbacks can really, really struggle. And if we get six games of Daniel Jones, it might be poison for Evan Engram. You just never know.
I think a month ago we were talking and thinking like Daniel Jones wasn't going to play until the very end of the year, and now after what I've learned through minicamp and what we might see in training camp, would you be so surprised if he took over if the team starts 1-6?
No, of course not. Like, is that good or bad?
Statistically, though. Like, not last year, Eli bounced back a little bit and was not as bad as he had been the last couple of years. But in 2017, when Engram had his best season, Eli was worse than almost any of the rookie quarterbacks we talked about on Monday.
I also want to point out
statistically, he was awful.
But he wasn't worse than Jared Goff. He wasn't worse than Mitch Trubisky.
He was definitely worse than Trubisky by about
Trubisky's rookie year.
By about half of the statistics, he was worse by quarterback rating, yards per attempt, than Lamar Jackson.
In 2017?
Yes. 6.1 yards per attempt, 80.4 quarterback rating.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
That hurts my eyes.
3.3 touchdown percentage.
Well, I mean, doesn't that say he probably wasn't that bad? That is like a fluky low...
It's very, very bad. Yes, he was only 3.6
but again,
last year.
Look at he bounced back to last year. Like,
right,
he's obviously not that bad of a quarterback. But he's not that bad of a
quarterback.
He's not that bad of a quarterback. He's not going, like, he's better than Daniel Jones, is what I'm saying. My question to you is, would you rather Daniel Jones or Eli Manning be the quarterback if you draft Evan Engram?
I don't have any idea because I haven't seen enough of Daniel Jones to know. I'm not certain if Eli Manning is better than Daniel Jones or not.
And so just for that reason alone, I'll say Eli. And that's why Eli's going to start the year as their quarterback. Here's what I like about Evan Engram. 70.3% catch rate last year. He had 11 drops in 2017. He only had three in 2018. Yards per route run went from 1.46 to 1.83.
Oh, he was better last year than he was his rookie
year. Yeah. All across the board.
Except I do wonder what the splits are with and without Beckham.
Which split would you like to know?
I don't know. Anything.
His catch rate without Odell was 71%.
So similar.
So it was real close to 70% with Odell. He improved in his second year.
He's really good.
He is. He's very good. He's fast. He's a tough matchup.
This was just Adam's way of trying to trick us into talking nice about a Giant for
big,
a while.
Big catch radius that'll help with either an old quarterback or an inexperienced young one.
Okay.
And you know what? We're touting him as a breakout now. Think about what he might be next year, 2020, when Daniel Jones is the starter, assuming that Daniel Jones isn't a train wreck.
That's not an assumption I'm willing to make.
Engram will be going into his fourth year. Maybe he's not too far off from those big three after all.
Like, I think it's possible Evan Engram could have one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, regardless of who is starting. But he had one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in 2017 and broke out.
Okay, so 2017, yeah. 2017, yeah. He was the number five tight end in fantasy.
Yeah.
So let's just think about that. What were his numbers?
He had 700 yards and six touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can call that breaking out, but
that's awesome for a rookie.
It is. You're right. But if you get that at 50th overall, that's a crap pick. So I don't care that he finished fifth, because all that tells me is that tight end is terrible every single year. You're going to tell me that Austin Hooper broke out because he finished as the number seven tight end this year? Absolutely not.
Yeah, he did.
But it doesn't matter because it's useless. Like,
it's not useless at all. You have to start tight ends in almost all leagues.
Yeah, but you don't invest the high pick on that. Nobody's even who's drafting Austin Hooper in a single digit round. So like, I don't want to hear about Evan Ingram's 2017 season.
It was a very good year.
It was a great year for a rookie tight end. But if you're going to make the point that, oh my God, Eli Manning's numbers were so bad in 2017 and Evan Ingram still did well, that's not good enough to justify his draft spot. Like, those numbers might be good for a tight end. They're not good enough to justify taking him early in the fifth round or in the fourth round or anything. They're not a top 50 player. No, not even close.
No, I expect him to be better than that.
I do too.
He was a rookie. Rookie tight ends are terrible.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you want to just compare quarterback play to numbers, like, if Daniel Jones comes in and puts up Eli Manning's 2017 numbers and Evan Ingram suffers and has a similar season to 2017, it's not going to be worth a top 50
pick. If your risk is 800 yards and six or seven touchdowns in the fifth round, that is better than your risk with almost all your fifth round picks.
At which position?
Well,
relative to their position. Okay. Evan Ingram, breakout. In fact, there are three tight ends in Heath's breakouts, and I think that's, you know, pretty interesting when you get past the big three. Maybe it means you don't want to be past, like, the top seven or so.
There's six that I'm, like, there's the big three, there's the three breakouts, and then I'm like, well, I'm just not going to draft one until it's time to draft defenses.
And the breakouts are Howard, Henry, and Ingram, not in that order. And then for me, I mean, I'm kind of warming up to Jared Cook. I feel like he'll be good. You guys are not?
No.
I can warm up to him at the right spot.
Okay. Let's
it's gotta be like early round seven.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the minicamp developments and read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're gonna take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. We'll be back. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Okay, so some minicamp developments. Let's get some quick reactions here. Jay Gruden said that Dwayne Haskins deserves a shot to start week one.
Agreed.
Of course he deserves a shot.
Okay.
The alternative is Case Keenum. You got to give the kid a shot. He apparently did not embarrass himself at all during minicamp. And how often have we seen a rookie quarterback join a team with one of his top receivers from college? It's pretty rare, right? But Washington did that for him. Terry McLaurin has apparently been the star of minicamp for the Redskins.
Well, what does this news do for you, if anything, in fantasy?
Nothing at all.
That's the problem.
Okay, good.
You're not drafting Haskins. But maybe by the end of August, McLaurin could be McLovin.
Let's go to the running backs. So just based on some reports, some stories we've read, here are some things you need to know. Green Bay looks like it's really going to emphasize running the football. You don't buy that?
Who's the quarterback?
Matt LaFleur.
Who's the quarterback?
But that's the thing about Rodgers. They've been able to do both. They've been able to be a running team at times. Rodgers, lately he's been throwing the ball more, but a little earlier in his career he was not a high attempt guy, and he was still one of the best quarterbacks in the world. So I don't see that they wouldn't be a run-first team that could still have a really good passing attack.
I think Aaron Jones is going to have to really earn it from Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, he's going to have to get it done in the passing game. Now, Rodgers has called out Jones. I shouldn't say called out. He's praised Aaron Jones for how he looks, both on the field and off the field. Apparently, he lost some weight, looks a little bit better. And maybe that'll make Aaron Rodgers feel better about handing off to him and certainly looking for him on screens and dump offs. I'm expecting the Packers offense to be a lot more creative than it's been. And that's not saying much because it was pretty stale the last couple of seasons.
I do expect them to be more run heavy than they were last year.
More run heavy than they were last year, but I don't think they're going to suddenly become the Titans.
But like, he threw 597 passes last year. I've got him projected for 556.
Yeah, I bet he's in between there. I bet he's closer to 575.
Okay, the Detroit Pre-Press predicted 60 or more catches for Kerryon Johnson. We talked about that. The Texans, are they going running back by committee?
I think they want to.
Didn't they last year?
They did eventually. Remember, like, Alfred Blue was getting work? Like, they were so frustrated with Lamar Miller.
Didn't they the year before?
Well, no, because Lamar Miller was still carrying the ball almost 17 times per game.
Well, yeah, because they were running it 40 times a game.
No, nobody runs the ball 40 times a game. I think Baltimore led the NFL with like 34 last year or something.
Last year, Lamar Miller had 210 carries in 14 games. And Alfred Blue had 150 in 16 games. And Deshaun Watson had 116 games.
Yeah, they obviously run the ball a lot. So running back by committee, would it though be in the sense where it's split more evenly?
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't really expect it to change too much. Foreman could show me something in the preseason that might change my opinion. Like the year before, Lamar Miller had 238 carries in 16 games, which is about the same pace as 210 and 14. And Foreman and Alfred Blue combined for 149. So I think it'll be similar to what it's been.
Could you express the situation in which you would be very happy to have Lamar Miller on your fantasy team?
I went zero running back.
And what round are you getting him in?
Fifth or sixth.
Okay, I'll say sixth is fine. I'd be excited to have him if I loaded up at other positions. Through
I mean, if I start wide receiver, and get a tight end at the start of the third, sign me up for some.
I still want him to be my second running back there, though. I think I'd feel like I need a shower if Lamar Miller was my very first quarterback on my team.
Okay. Well, you know, you should shower regardless. Some rookie running back updates that I probably shouldn't be the one telling you that. Matt Nagy said rookie running back David Montgomery is a really good route runner. Mm-hmm. And NJ.com Zach Rosenblatt says that it's premature to expect Miles Sanders to become the number one Eagles running back. He's missing time, so, you know.
Yeah. He won't be to start the year.
Hopefully. He's got a hamstring thing that's keeping him.
No, I mean, he won't be the number one running back to start the year.
No. Not unless Jordan Howard gets hurt.
Who do you draft first? Bears, David Montgomery, the Eagles, Miles Sanders?
Montgomery and not close.
Correct.
So who do you draft second? Sanders?
Miles Sanders.
Okay. Gotcha.
What do you mean?
But I'm thinking
of those two?
Yeah.
I'm thinking two plus rounds later.
Okay. All right, but you know, you say that, but who has the better chance by week 8 to be getting more carries?
Sanders. Sanders versus Montgomery?
Yes.
Or Sanders versus Howard?
Sanders versus Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Okay.
But Sanders will be ahead of Howard by then. If you draft Miles Sanders, you just have to be very patient.
James Conner thinks the Steelers will distribute backfield touches pretty evenly.
That report came out last week. And recently, I think it might have been as soon as yesterday, The Athletic reported that all this talk about James Conner splitting is, quote, lip service.
Right.
Which is what I was saying all along. Okay. Like, James Conner has done absolutely nothing to lose the workload that he had last year in Pittsburgh. I'm projecting Benny Snell to be his direct backup, Jalen Samuels to get somewhere between 3 and 7 touches per game, regardless of the situation, and James Conner to get the rest, including the goal line. He was great in short yardage. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. He's got a great offensive line. He knows the offense. Quarterback trusts him. You're really going to take him off the field and put him down for 12, 13 carries a game? It's ridiculous.
Okay. Connor is, I think, someone we need to have an extended conversation about maybe in our next episode, although I've already said we were going to do that, and I did not do that. Last running back note, Nick Foles says he likes throwing to running backs. There is some buzz about Leonard Fournette catching more passes this year. I did go back and look at every game in which Nick Foles threw more than 11 passes with the Eagles the last 2 years. 12 games fit that criteria, including the postseason. And a running back had 30 or more receiving yards 6 times and a touchdown catch 3 times. So that's really not so bad. And it wasn't always Darren Sproles. Like, sometimes it was Ajayi. Corey Clement in the Super Bowl, I completely forgot. He had 4 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. I mean, pretty much everybody scored in that game. But 12 games for Foles with more than 11 passes in the last 2 seasons, a running back at 30 or more yards 6 times and a touchdown catch 3 times. That's not bad. How many catches do you think Leonard Fournette gets this year?
49.
That seems a little higher than what I've got him for, but it's not far from that. 40.
Cool. Hey, make sure you watch the World Series of Poker on CBS All Access. We got a lot of events that you cannot see anywhere else other than CBS All Access. Go to cbs.com/poker or download the CBS app. That's not cbssports.com. That is cbs.com/poker or download the CBS app. And by the way, the Facebook group is popping right now. People are commenting on my post. I'm trying to figure out how to pin it. How do you pin a post?
You grab a push pin.
Uh-huh.
You grab what you want to post.
I saved it.
And you put the push pin into the wall in between the base of the pin and the wall.
I'm going to have to email the social guy and ask him, how do I pin a post? Please don't make fun of me.
He's going to laugh at you.
Yeah. Okay, well, do you know how?
No. No,
I don't. Okay, cool. Wide receiver stuff. Some minicamp rumblings. New Jets GM Joe Douglas really likes Robbie Anderson. He was impressed.
Yeah, he's had some good headlines after training camp. I know Jamie's not here, but grab your waters. Pete Prisco came away impressed.
Got it.
With Robbie Anderson following his visit to their minicamp. Apparently, he's running routes better. Going to be a little bit more than just a 1 or 2 trick pony at receiver, which is great. Very, very. I'm between Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell in that Jets offense. I think there's a lot to be excited about for Robbie Anderson this year.
Yeah, I'm not there.
No,
I like Robbie Anderson a lot. I'm pretty sure I was the Robbie Anderson guy last year and
you,
the year before. Maybe.
Yes, oh yeah, always. Oh yeah.
I don't really have a lot of faith in Darnold. I super don't have any faith in Adam Gase. And they've got too many guys that run the types of routes that Gase's offense tend to focus on. I just don't, like, why did they go get Jamison Crowder? Why did they give Quincy Enunwa an extension? How many times are they going to throw it to Le'Veon Bell? Or Chris Hernan when he's back on the field? I don't know.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. I like Robbie.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
You might change your mind about him after the preseason.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling might be Green Bay's number 2 wide receiver.
Sounds like he is their number 2 receiver in terms of the guy that plays outside and the guy that plays when they only have 2 receivers on the field. Jeromo Allison mostly been playing in the slot during OTAs at least. I had Allison as one of my breakouts. I took him off the list for now. I've currently got him and Scantling projected for the same number of targets. This will be something we watch closely in camp.
I think it's a great fit to have Allison in the slot. And it's been – have I talked about this before on the podcast? Tall slot receivers in this version of the Shanahan offense?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
With LaFleur? I think I have, because we talk about how Cooper Kupp was tall, Mohamed Sanu was tall, Tajay Sharpe was tall. They all worked with Matt LaFleur. And now he's going to use Geronimo Allison, who's 6'1", I believe. And not necessarily fast, but he's a good route runner. And as long as he doesn't try and improvise too much, I think he's going to have a good opportunity to get over the 50 catch mark and maybe come down with a 6-7 touchdowns. I still like him better than Valdes-Scantling.
Oh, yeah. Heath, did you say who you preferred? As of
right now, I would still take Allison, but if he's going to be a slot receiver running those kinds of routes, he's going to need a lot more than 50 catches to be relevant.
MVS, when he first got featured, his first four games of the season, he had 5 targets. And then he had a 4-game stretch with 2 touchdowns and 2 100-yard games, and he was awesome. And I'm sure we all pretty much bought in, and then he was awful.
Well, they moved him to the slot.
Is that coincided directly with him moving to the slot when he got
bad? I am fairly positive they moved him to the slot and everything went terrible.
Well, yeah, that's no good then. But we saw, I guess, what he can do as an outside receiver. Russell Wilson raved about DK Metcalf. Quote, I think DK is looking really, really special. He can do anything and everything, and he's tremendous. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo said some nice things about Dante Pettis. So a rookie NFC West wide receiver in Metcalf and a second-year NFC West wide receiver in Pettis getting some love from their QBs.
I think it's lip service from Russell Wilson, who, like his coach, is very rah-rah over everything. And this isn't the only thing that we've heard about Pettis this week. The Athletic reported that Pettis seems to have an edge to be the number one receiver in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, he's
the man. That excites
me.
I've been drafting Pettis a lot.
He's the man.
He really is. He's got this flexion to his body where he can just adjust for passes and evade tackles. He's got good speed. Yeah, Adam's doing it. He's like Gumby out there.
Yeah, that's me. And
Adam is like a robotic Gumby in his chair right now.
Heath, I'm not sure you've ever been part of this debate, but like, just give an honest answer, because I know you like to troll me, but give an honest answer.
I don't know what your side of this answer is, so I couldn't.
Well, you will when I ask the question. I'm running a route. We're playing like, you know, backyard football. I'm running a route, and Pete Prisco is covering me. Who wins? Do you think Pete could cover me?
Who's throwing the ball?
You.
I don't know that it really matters. Like, you have to catch the ball to win?
Yeah, I could catch. I have good hands.
I would bet on Pete.
You would not. You would honestly not. If, like, you actually had to bet, you would not bet on Pete.
I don't think you, like, if Pete presses you,
yeah,
I don't think you can get off the line.
You will fall.
How old is he?
If you do get off the line, I've still got a bet on you running, not falling down, and catching the pass. And those, like, that's a, I think there's a chance.
This
like,
has to happen.
I might give you like a 40% chance.
If Pete has to play in zone, you're going
to
win.
Yeah, but if Pete gets to play up on the line and jam you?
Right, which is what he would do if he was allowed to. He would push you down, you would fall, like, you would scrape your elbow.
Do we think that Adam's faster than Pete? Yes.
I am 100%. Oh, my God, I would destroy him. Are you kidding me?
Pete works out.
That doesn't make you fast, though.
He does. I'm pretty sure that he does things with his legs when he works out.
He might do, like...
When do we think the last time that Adam sweat was? Like, for a physical exertion reason.
I don't know the answer to that question.
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. When was the last time I sweat? I think it might have been November. No, when my brother's bachelor party was, I think, in November. But it had to be after that.
From running or jumping or something?
Yeah, we played. It was like a big sports weekend. We played football. I was one of the best players. I was surprisingly good. Okay, Dante Moncrief looks like
about the rest of the guys.
Yeah, exactly. I was younger than all of them. Dante Moncrief looks like a slam dunk as the number 2 wide receiver for Pittsburgh, according to The Athletic. What do you think about that?
If he is the number 2 wide receiver for Pittsburgh and he holds on to that job for the rest of the year, doesn't drop the ball, then he is massively underrated in drafts right now
and should be ranked as a top 40 wide receiver.
Agreed. But I've also read something on James Washington breaking out and Deontay Johnson looking good at camp, and a former Canadian Football League receiver named Deontay Spencer looking good in Steelers camp. I think it's too soon to make a call on which Steelers receiver other than Juju is going to be the man.
Okay, so let me read some emails to finish the show. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is from Art in Atlanta, Georgia. I wanted to hear your thoughts on filling both tight end roster spots using tight ends from the same team in a best ball league where you have to have two tight ends on your roster. So it's a PPR league where you have to roster two tight ends and the best one counts every week. What would you think about going maybe Ertz and Goddard, maybe Ebron and Doyle, whatever you see that would work?
The problem with that is now you have to roster three. And sometimes I'm okay with rostering three. I don't like rostering three when I've taken one of Ertz, Kelsey, or Kittle, because I feel like if I spend that much on a tight end, I don't want to spend two more picks. But you can't draft Ertz and Goddard and then just take a zero the week of their bye.
I'm reading the email from Art, and he must have two tight ends. He can't have three. He can't have one. It's got to be two. I don't like it. I like giving your team as many opportunities as you can to have production. And if you have two tight ends from the same team, you're almost guaranteeing that every week one of the tight ends will be horrible. And more often than not, both tight ends will be horrible, even in the case of Ebron Doyle. We missed a news item, by the way, and I believe this also came from The Athletic, so they're getting a lot of attention on our podcast today. But Mo Alie-Cox was apparently their star in minicamp. And that's a third tight end.
Well, that's because
Ebron
and Doyle weren't participating, right?
Maybe, but if he showed them something in the camp, and he was playing for them a little bit late last season, it's just another target for Andrew Luck.
More bad news for Paris Campbell.
I don't like bad news for Paris Campbell. I really like Paris Campbell.
All right, guys, I want to answer more questions. So keeper question from Daniel from a city southeast of Houston, Texas.
I think we've answered this before because I think he's written this in before, and I think I said Beaumont for him last time, but this time it's going to be Alvin, Texas.
Hello, Priest, Larry, and Jamal.
Those are running backs.
Texas running backs,
Chiefs,
right?
Kansas City Chiefs running backs. I have a keeper dilemma. I need you, Adam Azer, to answer this for me. I already know what Jamie and Dave as well as Heath will say. The question is, do I keep Marlon Mack or Damian Williams for a 7th-round pick next year? Jamie will say to keep Mack and talk about how Damian may not even be the guy by week 3. Dave will say keep Damian because he has developed a man crush with Mr. Williams. Heath will talk about his nipples. So I need you, Adam Azer, to bring me some resolve. Thank you. Hashtag CBS HQ for life. I think I would take...
I know who I would take.
Yeah, so does he.
No, he's wrong.
You take Mack?
It's a keeper league.
Yeah, I guess I'd take Mack.
But, like, I'd assume if you can't keep both Mack and Williams, you're only keeping, like, one or two players per year. I don't think Mack's probably going to be the guy that you're keeping. I'd keep Williams.
Wow.
Okay, I'd keep Williams, too. I think that makes sense.
Wow.
Ooh, just in, by the way. According to the Lions' official website, Matthew Stafford played through broken bones in his back last season.
Ouch.
Okay, so this is what I wanted
to
read about.
That explains something.
Mo Alie-Cox. Let's see if you can find out if Ebron and Doyle were not participating. Okay, anyway.
I don't believe either one of them were at full go.
Okay, so let's get back to the emails here. A Todd Gurley question.
Oh, good.
Tyler from Washington. I've seen a lot of experts do mock drafts, and when they draft Gurley, they will draft Daryl Henderson in rounds 6 through 8. Why Henderson over Malcolm Brown?
Because he's better. Do you know that Malcolm Brown has 6 games in his career with 10 or more touches, and he has 0 touchdowns and 0 100-yard games in all of them?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you do. Daryl Henderson's just a better player. He'll be given an opportunity to get more work. Brown will be a compliment to him in the event Todd Gurley goes down.
I will mostly agree. What I'll say is I do think Malcolm Brown is going to be a much better value than Daryl Henderson. I think it's probably 70-30 that Daryl Henderson is the lead back if Todd Gurley gets hurt. Maybe 2-1.
Henderson's going to have a sixth round ADP. Malcolm Brown's going to have a 12th round ADP. I think Brown is a better value.
Last email, John from a city in Rhode Island, not named Providence.
Warshaw.
Dear McNulty, Bunk, Stringer, and Avon. That would be the wire. I feel like 2019 is a special year for the tight end position. You have three tier one guys and then a huge drop off to a lot of mostly bad options. So hear me out here. In your run-of-the-mill 12-team half PPR league, if you nab two of the three top tight ends at the end of round one and the beginning of round two turn, you can ensure that you have a hammer lock on that position the entire year, a massive edge over every other team at that position. From there on, you draft best running back wide receiver available, and you'll have some depth at wide receiver, obviously. It's worth noting that in most leagues, it's possible you start an early tight end run as owners get scared when they will have nobody, giving you some extra value for your picks in rounds 3 through 6. P.S. I don't actually believe any of this, but I would imagine lots of people do, especially less experienced owners. Might be worthwhile to have a talk with them.
Travis Kelce could be worth a first-round pick. So that part of the discussion is the only part that's relevant.
What if you took Ertz and Kittle? What if they fell to you at 24 and 25 overall?
You're passing up on somebody very good, and your edge is only going to be 1/12 greater if you've got them both on your team. Not to mention you're clogging your flex. You're basically committing to starting a tight end in your flex every single week.
I like that a lot more than the original idea. Ertz and Kittle were both better than the average flex and better than most of the number two wide receivers and running backs in PPR.
But in leagues where tight ends get a bonus and maybe you don't have to, I'm in a league, I've won this league 3 years in a row, where you don't have to start any tight ends if you don't want to, but tight ends get a point for every catch, whereas everybody else, you don't get a point for a catch until the third catch.
Right. Yes.
The first and second catch that your player makes is zero. Catch number three is worth 1 point. Catch number four is another point, and so on. But tight ends, it's not like that. So there's an edge to tight ends. I go crazy on tight ends in this league every year, and I win. But it's that type of a special circumstance where I think it's worth having multiple big time tight ends. You're already going to have an edge over most of your league by having one tight end of those top three. If you have two of them, it's not that much bigger of an edge.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you to Dave and Heath. Good stuff. Thank you all for listening. I don't know. Enjoy your day. Bye. Dave, can we sing it out?
Pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man dance.
Da, 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 da.